Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Janine. Good morning. You don't sound like last Sunday morning, 100th anniversary. Good morning. So, good morning. We're glad you're here. Janine is pitch hitting today. Lori Carrier calls me at 6:45, seriously ill. So I had to disturb Janine, or if I wanted you to sing by yourselves, I wouldn't have had to disturb her. But she was sound asleep, so she's just been practicing and warming herself up on the organ, and we greatly appreciate her coming to play for us in this crisis moment. And we're going to have Lori Carrier playing all Wednesdays, 1 and 7 p.m. services. So please join us this Wednesday for Ash Wednesday. We celebrate Eucharist, and we worship and receive the imposition of ashes on Wednesday, 1 and 7 o'clock, Our Savior, the start of the Lenten season for 2020. Leads us up then to Holy Week and then Resurrection. For those on radio, we're not going to be on the radio. Don't get confused with what I'm going to tell you. It's just information in the future. On April 12th, the broadcast will be at 7:30. Because we're going to broadcast it live from Lakeside Cemetery. But that's not till April 2nd Sunday. It's not before. So we'll always be on 8:30 before that Resurrection Day and after that Resurrection Day. April 12th is the exception. And we invite the community to worship with us where we've been there for 25 years. Lakeside Cemetery, Holland Avenue. Join us. Okay. This day is Transfiguration Sunday. It's probably one that some people stumble over the word transfiguration. Trans means to change or go across. Figuration, the image, a changed image. Jesus goes up to the mount, gospel text. His image is changed and the appearance of two others, Moses and Elijah, who are deceased, appear to James, John, and Peter. So. It's that kind of reality that takes place. Jesus in a different form for the witnesses of the disciples to hold on because the road is going to get bumpy. It's going to lead to crucifixion and a cross. So that is the text and the purpose for this day. Allah, the color, we're in white. I had the white out. I put the green on because I thought I changed. I thought I saw green, probably before the white got changed. So, pardon me, I am still in a stole. The color has switched. We begin with, if you'll please rise, with confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the eternal voice from heaven, the anointed and the beloved one, the Spirit moving over the waters. Amen. As we approach the mystery of God, let us come to in confession, trusting the love of Christ, which has been crucified and now risen. God, who searches us and knows us, you have shown us what is good, but we have looked to other lights to find our way. We have not been just in our dealings with others. We have chosen revenge over mercy. We have promoted ourselves instead of walking humbly with you. With what shall we come before you? Forgive us our sin and show us your salvation in the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Beloved of God, you have not received the spirit of this world, Rather, you've received the Spirit that is from God, poured out for you in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Receive the promise of your baptism. You are God's child. Your sins are forgiven. Rejoice, be glad, for yours is the reign of heaven. Amen. Entrance hymn, Immortal, Invisible. Please join us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our hymn of praise for this day, Beautiful Savior, but selected verses 1, 3, and 4. We sing.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. If you'll join me in a prayer for this day, we pray together. O God, in the transfiguration of your Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the witnesses of Moses and Elijah, and in the voice from the bright cloud declaring Jesus your beloved Son. You foreshadowed our adoption as your children. Make us heirs with Christ of your glory, and bring us to enjoy its fullness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Marcia brings us the first lesson scripture this day.
At Mount Sinai, Moses experienced the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. The glory of the Lord settled on the mountain, and the seventh day, God called out to Moses. On the mountain, God gave Moses the stone tablets inscribed with the Ten Commandments. First reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant, Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of God, the word of life.
Thanks be to God. The psalm of the day. I think it gets more meaningful if I give you the background to it. Now, Moses basically is dated at approximately 1500 BC. 1000 BC, 500 years later, comes King David following King Saul. Okay. As he's upon the throne and the kingdom's coming together under David's reign, he says, "Lord, let me build you a temple." And the Lord says, "No, you're not going to build me a building. You cannot put me into a box. So, I, the Lord your God, will build you a house, a temple. And it will be upon that throne, your descendants will rule forever over my people." Okay? Now, the Psalms are written around 1000 BC, 900 BC, Psalm 2. It's referred to as the coronation psalm or the enthronement psalm. You and I, we have presidents, we have inaugurations, we have elections. In Israel, when you have a king, like Great Britain and other nations have had monarchies. So Israel had a monarchy, David was king. God was going to build a house. So every time a king ascended by death into the throne, this psalm too would be used at the worship service of the king's installation. So, it was many times. They didn't know when they did this for like 500 years before the kingships ended that this will become fulfillment in Jesus Christ, whose monarchy will last forever. Okay, Psalm 2. The antiphon is, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you," is built into the text. So we begin. "Why are the nations in an uproar? Why do the peoples mutter empty threats? Why do the kings of the earth rise up in revolt, and the princes plot together against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed? Let us break their yoke, they say. Let us cast off their bonds from us. God, whose throne is in heaven, is laughing. The Lord holds them in derision. You are my son. This day I have begotten you." Then in wrath, God speaks to them. In rage, fills them with terror. As for me, I have anointed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Let me announce the decree of the Lord, who said to me, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possessions. You are my son. This day have I begotten you. You shall crush them with an iron rod, and you shall scatter them like a piece of pottery. And now, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of this earth. Submit to the Lord with fear, and with trembling bow in worship. Lest the Lord be angry, and you perish in a sudden blaze of wrath. Happy are all who take refuge in God. You are my son. This day I have begotten you." Our second reading. Substituting for Gary, thank you very much, Jane Bordentraeger.
Good morning.
Good morning.
At the Transfiguration, God's voice was heard declaring Jesus to be the beloved Son. By the activity of Holy Spirit, God's voice continues to be heard through the word of Scripture. Our second reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jean. If you're able to stand for the gospel being read, please rise.
The acclamation is on page 9, if you'll join me. Alleluia. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Alleluia. The gospel text, Matthew chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. So over on page 10, you'll find the lesson. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John. He led them up to a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is so good for us to be here. And if you wish, we'll make three dwelling places here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And while Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed all three figures. And the cloud had a voice, and it said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground. They were overcome with fear, but Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw nobody except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell nobody about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Lord. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. For those on radio or podcast WPHM, we greet you from the congregation here in Port Huron, our Savior. Should also say for those on radio, we're approaching the ending of 81 years of live broadcast on radio. In April, we will turn 82 years old out of our 100 years of doing live broadcast of this worship service. That's just awesome. We started in 1938. Many of us were not born then. But the pastor here, Pastor Ruff, had enough knowledge in the station, WHLS, now Radio First, together with the other stations, was the first station in town that I'm aware of. And we got on it real quick, within a year of its formation. We were on radio. Thank God. We've been able to carry that word throughout St. Clair County. And then 3.5 years ago, we were transported to WPHM.net as well. And now we get out beyond St. Clair County, well beyond it, simply because of the internet and simulcast. If you do not have a radio, you can turn on your pad, your cell phone, and at 8:30 in the morning, you will hear us live, straight from this microphone. Technology is a wonderful thing, when it works. Otherwise, it's a nightmare. So with that in mind, we look at this Sunday's lessons for Transfiguration. The first one, from Exodus, Moses speaking to Israel. For those of you who don't know my style, or maybe don't like my style, but anyways, I'd like to walk you through the actual scripture, because a lot of pastors just tell you concepts that are out of them. I want you to see the word of scripture and the elaboration of that, okay? So, the text is out of Exodus. Moses speaking to Israel. As he goes up to the mount, this is one of those Cecil B. DeMille movie pictures. I reference you to that movie. I always ask the first communion class and confirmation classes to see that six-hour movie. It's a mammoth movie. And its technology, I just heard recently, it really was done in the early 50s before computer-generated graphics. It was done with such skill and such abilities. But anyways, when it came to this scene, Moses goes up to the mount, and there he has dialogue with God for a lengthy time. God also guided him to make provisions, because leadership over 1 million people can get hairy and squirrely, and anarchy can ensue. So this is how you're going to do it, because I want to talk to you for a while. And so he forewarns Moses, this is going to be a long message. When he is up there, he receives many messages from God, including the commandments. When he enters, a cloud comes over Mount Ararat, Mount Sinai, and comes out after 40 days, 40 nights. Use this as a reference point. How many days did the flood and the rains come to wash the earth clear? 40 days, 40 nights. Good. Give yourself a check for the first question. Next one. Obviously, this is gimme. Moses went up to the top for 40 days, 40 nights. Probably the most significant, there's another part in the Old Testament, but I won't put you on the spot. But let's zip forward to the New Testament. As Jesus has been baptized, he goes into the wilderness and he fasts. That means no food for how long? Overnight, like you and I? No. 40 days, 40 nights. Could you have lasted that long? He is tempted by Satan for hunger, right? I'll get this son of this guy. I'll get him by his hunger, and I'll deliver on promises. And he gets a threefold temptation that comes up in Lent. But the nature of it is Jesus resisted those 40 days and 40 nights, okay? You're going to hear that symbol throughout the scripture, Old and New Testaments. The 40 is not an accidental number. It's an intentional number to identify with God working his will on this planet, from judgment to struggle and temptation to eventually liberation in Jesus Christ. Okay. Moses, 40 days, 40 nights. When he comes down, I believe this is the scene, Cecil B. DeMille, he has artistic freedom to do this. But if you can remember that scene, and I've seen it so many times, Moses' face is aglow because he has been in the presence of God, and Cecil B. DeMille wanted to kind of show he was different now than when he went up to the mount after seeing and speaking with God. Artistic liberty. Second reading is where you're dealing with Peter giving a witness of the great power that Jesus has. Understand, this writing is approximately 60 AD. This is like 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. He's had time to process what all this meant about the crucifixion, his denial of the Messiah, and his coming to terms and standing on the lake Tiberias, seeing the risen Lord, last scene of the Gospel of John. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you heard me say, I do. Then tend to my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Oh, this is embarrassing. And he broke down in tears. Yes, Lord, I do. Then take care of my sheep. And then he goes on to make a prophetic statement about Peter. He says, the day's coming, Peter, you're going to be arrested. And you are going to be led where places you never wanted to go, and you will die for me. Referring to the type of death he will go through and the renewal of his commitment to Jesus Christ after he made that bold statement, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then denied him threefold. Imagine if all of us had to stand before Christ and make atonement for all the times we deny Christ. We'd be there for all eternity. Peter made things right, not on his own, but by God's grace, God's mercy. Who is this Jesus? Peter, if you can cut Peter, you can bleed Peter, and you can crucify Peter upside down. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the real McCoy. Jesus is not overstating his case that he is God in human flesh. Jesus is the one we are called to follow and give our whole lives to, even if it means our death because of our faith. Well, in the first reading, if you see it in the sermon outline, the word that gets used for Moses' encounter and second reading, what Peter experienced, is what we call a theophany. Not doing this to impress you with my knowledge. I'm doing it to use a technical term because you won't find it in secular language. Theo, Greek word, God. Theophany, the appearance. This is an appearance of God. Moses was in the presence of God, not face to face. He would have been burned to a crisp because sin cannot dwell in the holy presence of God. But he had just an emanation, a small degree of what God was like, holy and righteous. Okay. Peter did not get the full revelation, but he saw enough that he could bear witness that this Jesus was divine. A theophany. In our Wednesday morning class, I made reference of theophanies. A lot of times when youth go to Bible camp or go to a youth gathering of 40,000 youth, and I've been to those, and I've been to Bible camps for about 35 years. The youth, even though they went kicking and screaming, I don't want to go to camp, I'm leaving my friends, the familiar, and I'm not in charge of my life. You're right. We are. Give it up. Let God guide us. When the youth come back, and I have seen so many parents surprised. One scene, and particularly in my brain right this second, is where a mother is getting gas at the same station I was. And she says, my son will not stop talking about Bible camp. He just had a great experience. He had a theophany. He had a blessing that God doesn't give to everybody. If you're open and vulnerable, oh, God reveals God's self through his people, through his word, through the appearance. And so he did. Now, you and I can't stay on the mountaintop, right? Peter, James, and John couldn't stay on the mountaintop. There's work to be done. Roll up your sleeves. You just can't live in the moment. Peter said, Lord, let us build three booths. Let's make its permanent residence here. Oh, no, Peter. Wrong picture. This is not what my kingdom is about, is feelings. That's what we humans want, feelings. It's about faith. And trusting when God is with us, even when we don't see God. God is here. Even if we forgot to call on God, God is still present. Because we live and we're wrapped in grace by Almighty God. So it's with that recognition that those theophanies are God's respites for us in our lives. It's like I said some months ago, to kiss the joy. When those moments, breakthrough moments occur, just say, thank you, Lord. Because it may be a long spell before you get another one. Thank you, Lord. You have revealed yourself to me in a grace-filled way. Not punitive, not punishment, but just love. You have loved me. Yes, God does. And those moments sustain us during the dry spells, the deserts of our life. And so consequently, the theophany for Peter, who even 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus is still living in the afterglow of that revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. You look at a lot of Christians, for those who are born and raised in the church and maybe sustained that for a good 30, 50 years of their life, something turns them sour to the gospel, to God's people, whatever. I'm not going to defend nor condemn it. All I can say is, hold on. Peter did not have an easy life. He will eventually die a painful death that none of us would have signed up for. So if God can sustain that one plus all the saints of all the centuries, God can take care of this puny Don Dorsbacher in 2021. The grace of God is real. The sustaining power of God is true. And while you and I may say, where is God? The answer is right here. What are you looking for? Remember the words of Matthew's gospel, ask, seek, knock. And all this will be open for you. Jesus promised you and he promised me. Problem is we forget that verse, right? We don't ask, we're gonna do it ourselves. We're go to it. Get her done, people, right? Mary the cable guy. Gonna get her done. Truth of the matter is, we're gonna screw it up. Truth of the matter is, God has to go with us or we go alone. And that's not gonna be a blessed ending. God's appearance is coming. Then we come to the actual event, Matthew 17th chapter. Some things you can point out. Who goes with Jesus? All 12? No. I'll give you a quiz. Who's always with Jesus? The inner circle. If you think God has favorites, God doesn't have favorites, but he finds there's some who are easier to work with. Peter, James, and John. They're the ones who went up to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray before his death. Bartholomew? Any of the others? No. Not Matthew, the tax collector. Peter, James, and John. Whenever Jesus is looking for moral support, and he's counting on these guys, and they crumble, as we all do, it's still Peter, James, and John. So it goes. So they go with Jesus up the mount. Can you imagine if you and I were there, the bickering that was going on with the other nine on the bottom? You hear that? Oh. He has favorites. Why didn't I get to go? They went on the last trip. You can just hear human sin coming through life. In a church, it happens. Oh, the pastor has favorites. Oh, maybe the pastor has a need for those gifts and talents in the people. don't make a call that's based on misinformation or your own insecurity, okay? May not have been anything transmitted, but you heard some other wavelengths. Understand, Jesus chose those three, and we're not told why. We can only speculate, and that's subject to flaws. So he's up there with the three. They have a magnificent appearance, a true theophany, not secondhand, first person. Who would ever expect to see a dead man? Because half of Judaism in the days that Jesus walked this earth didn't even believe in life after death. So there was no expectation that Moses and Elijah were available for a call and a guest appearance. Moses appears, Elijah appears. We're told this is a vision, not necessarily their bodies manifested. That would be a resuscitation or a resurrection, and it didn't happen. It's a vision, okay? Moses representing the law. Elijah, the prophets, even though Moses was a prophet, he represented the Torah. Elijah, a prophet, early centuries of the kingdom. And he was one who addressed the kings after 1000 BC. And he was faithful, but he was a sinner all the through. You can go a whole biography of Elijah. A sinner redeemed. And Elijah, a representation of the best of the best of the best prophets. Okay. Then the appearance of Jesus. Oh yeah, this was the man you walked up with, Peter, James, and John, but he wasn't the same. The text in the Revelation indicates his garments were changed, dazzling white. Ooh, you can hear the music playing and the sound effects in the background. He's different. Yes, he is. Because you're going to see what's going to take place in a short time in his resurrection glory. Because it's not his time yet, but you get a preview, you three. Now, if they were wise, they would have stored that in their brain and said, oh, nothing can stop us. We know Jesus is the way. But we also know Peter stood before the courtyard with the slave woman in the courtyard while Jesus is on trial in the building and says, I don't know him. I deny him. And after the third time, he heard the cock crow, a rooster crow, just as Jesus had told him at the table. How can these big, sturdy men receiving this private revelation screw it up? I don't know. How do you do it? Well, I do. We promised ourselves to God, confirmation, dedicate our lives. We said many times in our life, marriages and all times of crisis moments, we called to God for help. And when it came to fulfill the contract, null and void. Oh, how do we screw it up? Then you got the answer called sin. Well, stand under judgment. That's not an excuse. But it does show our need for God. None of us can get to God through for salvation except through Jesus Christ. Nobody can do it by righteousness, by good works, good intentions, but only by faith in the grace of God. Manifested in Jesus Christ. So, I want you to know that in the gospel accounts, when they get down the mountain, they already have their first taste test. What's that? There's a man crying to Jesus saying, sir, would you heal my son? He's throwing himself in fires. Sounds like, medically, we might call it epilepsy. He's having seizures. And Jesus turns to him and says, well, what about my nine down here? Weren't they the support group that hold the home base? They couldn't do it. Jesus is disgusted. He says, your son can be well if you believe. And here's the famous line. The father says, and you and I probably have said it too. I believe. Just help my unbelief. And so the son was made well. And the mission goes on to an end at the cross and sees the bright light of Easter morn as that stone is rolled away. God always was in charge. and God is in charge even to this day. May the God of grace, who's transformed himself to give evidence of who he was, get over our blindness to see it and to accept him as our Lord and our Savior. Join us on the Lenten journey starting Ash Wednesday. Amen. Our hymn of the day is on page, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, that's what it's all about. Page 12, please. Thank you.
Affirming the faith of those who have gone before us through the creed, please rise. We join the chorus of the saints. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue in prayer as Jane leads us, please.
Trusting that God hears us, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Holy God, your loving power is at work among us. Rouse and embolden your church that we too might be transfigured. Set a light in the world for the sake of the gospel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Awesome God, you speak the earth and the earth trembles. You display your majesty in the mountains and your mystery in the clouds. Grant that we discover your magnificence in all of your created world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Ruler of nations, your reign extends across all human borders. Guide world leaders in justice and righteousness, that they may work for equity for all people and protect the world that you have made. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, you are a refuge for all who are neglected and abused. Bring freedom to those who are oppressed and give comfort to those experiencing pain of any kind. Today we remember in our prayer Jared Lucas, Patricia May, Donna Taylor, Mary DeWitt, Sue Higgins, Sherry Genaw, Jeff Chandler, Brad DeTerry, Carrie and Wayne Bland's grandson, Benjamin Robert, Deb Colley's friend, Kim, for her daughter, Kelly, Pete Colley, John W. Ashford, for a fall from his roof with a head injury, Michaela Wolford, Rick Adams, Lori Parker's cousin, Sherry, and her uncle, Cliff. And we also remember those serving our country and our nations here and abroad. Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, and all those that have returned from their service into our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of Moses and Elijah, you've made your dwelling place at the top of a mountain with Jesus and his disciples. Dwell also in this congregation, that all who enter this community might be transformed by your dazzling brilliance. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Everlasting God, you offer eternal life to all your children. Thank you for the witness of those who lived and died in faith. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Confident that you, O Lord, are able to accomplish more than we even dare to ask, we bring these prayers before you, believing in your saving grace revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts, which enable our ministry in Christ's name. Let me acknowledge with grace and thankfulness radio broadcast this day, sponsored by Cheryl and Wally Deesing. Talked to Wally once this week. He called and left me a message too. But Wally listens to us down there in Florida, and he just loves this broadcast. and he helps support it, encouraging anybody who maybe is not part of our Savior or part of our Savior. You too can become a partner for the radio broadcast at your discretion and dedication. Flowers on this day, sponsored by Lori Parker, and they're beautiful again. Snow removal by Ken Wally and Cheryl Deason. He did this sign up before he left for Florida in the winter. I have to chuckle because he's taking care of us getting rid of snow. He's down there in Florida. How about if you come up here, we go to Florida, we'll call it even. Call me, Wally. Get back to me. Your people, my people, we'll get together. You know, always we add to the prayer list. So as we get them, two were added since I had them, and our assisting minister picks them up, as they have a sheet in our narthex for people to sign in that day of worship, so that we keep everything up to date. I indicated to you Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. Let me show you what's on the back table. Do not run out of here to the door as if this is a fire drill. It's not a fire drill. So what's on the back table? One of which is a page which you're going to see in your e-letter of tomorrow. It's a beautiful product that Nancy Nunes of St. Martin did for our Old Town churches. Our theme on Thursdays, beginning March 5th, is Rose Signs to Repentance. Okay? I have a second one. The topic, we're taking road signs, literally road signs, and putting it into a Christian gospel context. So there's a stop, proceed with caution, there's a yield, there's a turn around, and I have the one that says go on March 12th. Okay? And we, from our Savior, will provide the lunch. You are not paying for anything. The churches that have the clergy speaking that day, their members provide the lunch. The offering taken is dedicated, as it will be here at our Savior. It's going to be dedicated to the construction of a new building for the Mid-City Nutrition, formerly known as Soup Kitchen. It has legally changed its name to Mid-City Nutrition, okay? Just so you know, they're interchangeable, but it's technically now Mid-City Nutrition. At our old-time meeting this last week, one of the pastors says, I think I saw that they need to raise $500,000. Okay. Alice has shared with us after we made a contribution after the Advent luncheons. We, the downtown churches, I think we gave $900 from the offerings. We're going to use the offerings this time for a two. But she had indicated to us she hopes to break ground this year. So, with a not a lick in a prayer, but with a prayer and God's grace, it will be done. It's going to be a new kitchen. St. Martin's has served them well, and they really have exhausted that building by having so many people coming in daily. They feed somewhere between 100 and 150 to 200 people a day. Imagine the traffic, the floors, maintaining everything. Oh, it's a major thing, and it's taken its toll on our on St. Martin. And they're going to relocate, start with, at least in the dream of what Alice, she may have to scale it back with cost, but she wants to have two kitchens. One is the operational kitchen, one is a training kitchen for people on low income getting food subsidies and different things that they would learn how to use them for good nutrition. So it'll be a separate kitchen, and the main kitchen will feed about 150 to 200 people a day. So it's going to be a major proposition. So support it as you are able. Just dedicate it for Mid-City Nutrition construction. We emphasized at the Old Town meeting this last week that we need to constantly say to our people, this is not the general fund. This is construction. So that it gets diverted into the appropriate use for what they have asked for. Okay? So just so that you know that. Now on the back table, besides the flyer for the downtown church's Road Signs of Repentance, I've given my confirmation class, they're already theirs. This is a punch-out. Do you like punch-outs? You punch this out, this becomes an offering box. We used to do, 20 years ago, love loaves. Well, it's environmentally not safe by environmentalists. It's plastic. This is for Lenten offerings, and it gives you certain things about the Lenten message. And you punch it out, put your money on your dining room table or wherever, you will never forget it. That will come back to the church on Sunday of the Passion, last Sunday of Lent, before Holy Week commences, or thereafter, if you're not there that Sunday. And it'll go to the construction of the Mid-City Nutrition, our dedicated offering. Likewise, if you use your box envelope for Lent midweek, that'll go for Mid-City construction. If you use a pew envelope undesignated during the season of Lent, and you don't tell us, we have said at council, this will go. You use your white envelope on a non-Sunday, but on a Wednesday, it will go to the congregations general. That's the code. You use the Sunday offering on a Wednesday, it's okay. It's general offering. We're not going to confuse them. Okay? So that's your box. Pick it up. Then one more is, this is really neat. Every year I try to secure these for us. It goes day by day from Ash Wednesday up through Holy Saturday, which is the day preceding resurrection. And it gives you a task, a thought, a meditation, an action to do during the Lenten season. Take that for your family and for yourself and use it. Now, you will see in the letter, I took pictures of all the devotional books on the back table. I want you to know what are available. Always for you. You'll see it tomorrow. But two that I secured for this Lenten season, I don't want to show prejudice, but I have heard and I've studied with Henry Nouwen. This man is deceased, but his writings are timeless. Roman Catholic theologian, taught at Notre Dame, and it's called From Suffering to Salvation. Another daily devotional for Lent, by his wounds we are healed. Quoting the passage out of Isaiah 53, which talks about the wounds of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King, the suffering servant, and how you and I have been blessed by his suffering. Okay? Both are good, so please use them this Lent. Pick them up. Many other things, please read, respond, and participate with us in this Lenten journey. We rise for singing our offertory. And we'll sing verses 1, 4, and 6. Oh, yeah, it says it on page 16. So, page 17, Take My Life. We sing. Please stand.
Let us pray. God of wonder, you formed us in our mother's womb, and from Mother Earth you bring forth this bread and wine. We place them on your table, together with our lives and all that you have made. Open the heavens to us and pour out your spirit. We wait for your mercy. We long for your peace. We hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ.
You've been
our
listening to the Sunday morning Amen. Worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.